thank you, Chris Harvey, for leading us this week. As we come together, we want to pray. There'll be a time in the prayer for you to name a name or a concern, a joy. It's okay to say, thank you, God, for good things, as well as help me, God, with things that are difficult. And then we'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray together, shall we? Lord of life, giver of every grace, you made us. You gave us breath and life. You're always with us, always for us. We confess the times we have not noticed you, the times we have ignored you, forgotten you, pretended we could do all on our own. Oh, Lord, we come once again to say, Lord, we thank you. And we want to be close to you and our life filled with your life. We pray for those who hurt on this day. For those who suffer deep loss, even the death of those they love. Lord, in the midst of the valley of the shadow, may they find a confidence in your love and strength. Lord, we pray for those who serve in difficult nations, the difficult places across the globe. For people who serve the cause of freedom and liberty and justice in difficult and dangerous places. Lord, we pray for those who are sick in the hospitals and at home, for those who suffer every day with chronic illnesses, for those who wrestle with addictions. Lord, for all of these, may they find help and hope and strength, your presence. Lord, hear the prayers we make to you now. We pray for teachers and students, for those who keep our schools clean and the traffic moving around our schools and our children well fed and well cared for all who work for our children. We pray for parents who struggle to do right by their children. For those whose lives are ground down by poverty, Lord, raise up people of goodwill to love, to share, to serve. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us the possibility of a new life, and who told us to pray together and to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The scripture today is reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the second one. This letter is about new things, how in Christ we're made new people. It's chapter 5, and beginning with verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Anything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord of life, we praise you for the way you make all things new. Oh Lord, for things that need to end in our lives, help them end. And for things that need to begin, give us the strength to receive the new you offer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I'm going to have a little help from Dr. Mark Minsky. Mark is the principal of the New Market School. His wife Amy and daughter Avery worship here. And I wanted you to hear from him. Come on up, Mark. I got a microphone for you. Or you could use your playground voice. Try that. Mark is, as I said, principal of the New Market School. And been here 3 years, originally from North Carolina. And they are doing amazing things. All our schools are. They have received some recognition for the good things they do. And I just want to talk to him about the beginning of school. What is it like to begin a new school year as a principal?
Well, as a principal, it's an exciting time. It's a renewed time. It's a refreshed time. The hallways are all wax. There's new notebooks around. There's new paper around. Teachers come back revitalized. We always talk about recharging their batteries when teachers have that summer break, which some people call long, some people call short, I guess, depending on which part you're on. But they come back refreshed and renewed and ready to go and energized. And that's just kind of the feeling, rejuvenated, energized.
Good. Your school has a motto when I was there. Tell us about your motto.
The motto of New Market School is every child, every chance, every day. So we basically take that as every single child who enters our doors. Doesn't matter where they come from, who their parents are, every single child, we're going to do what we can to educate those children. In the state of Alabama, we always look at schools that a lot of times are valued on their test scores. And a lot of times, you know, you did a great job this year. You had 90% of your students on reading level. Well, what 10% didn't make it? So we're trying to work with every single child who enters our school to make them a better student. Every chance we get, from the time they enter the door to the time that they walk out the door, we want to work with our students. For example, we have our third grade teachers. While students are in line, ready to use the restroom, they're out there with flashcards, whether it's reading words or math things, just kind of working on them. So every single chance we get and every single day that we can do it. One of the things I usually send on my memos to our teachers is you have 180 days, which will be Monday the 15th, to make a difference for these children. And as we go, you know, we do a little countdown. You only have 175 days. You only have 65 days to make a difference. But it's all about making a difference. Every child, every chance, every single day.
That's great. Well, what if, I was in the second grade last year, and my teacher and I don't know, she just didn't get me. And, and I'm going into the third. How can I get a new beginning? And how can I start new?
Well, one of the things we do at New Market is we do team-to-team meetings. It's, for example, the third grade would meet with the second grade or the fifth grade with the fourth grade. So the teachers meet together and they discuss students.
What it's not,
Michael Stewart last year, oh my goodness, you do not want that child in your class. Please go to the principal, ask him to move him. He is horrible. That's what it's not. What it is, it's an opportunity for teachers to share the strengths and weaknesses of students and to give them an idea how to help and how to improve the child's education. For example, Michael is excellent in math. He really knows his math facts. And when it comes to problem solving, that's something he does very, very well. He really likes football. So if you can kind of integrate football into your math lessons, you'll really, really have him have his attention. On the other hand, he really, really struggles with his reading. So if you can kind of get some flashcards, really helped him last year. So that's the types of things we do. Again, it's not a negative thing. It's something to help the teachers so they have an idea about how to improve student.
Well, you you have an enthusiasm for your work. It seems like it's a ministry to you. How do you connect your faith with that?
Well, it's growing up in the church and having two caring parents. I've learned the whole idea of caring, and I think that helps to drive education and drive a school. You know, if you show teachers you care about them, if you show the community you care about them, and you show the children you care about them, it helps a lot. The other thing is prayer. About 3.5 years ago, Amy and I sat down and we started praying, you know, God, where do you want us? Lead us to where you want us to serve. And, you know, he's brought us here from North Carolina to Huntsville. And, you know, we feel like this is the place where we're supposed to be and supposed to serve with the community.
Well, we're glad. How can this church pray for you and your school, particularly in ways?
A couple of areas. One would be safety, you know, the safety of our students coming to and from school. The other is safety while at school. You know, last year with the tornadoes we had in the spring, you know, it's kind of a scary time as an administrator with 450 students and tornado warnings. So those type of things with safety. The second would be for patience, for the administration, for the teachers. As we know, as the school year gets longer, sometimes the patients get a little bit thinner. So to pray for patience. And to pray for, I guess, knowledge and understanding, for us to understand when students need assistance and to pray for the knowledge that we can give them that assistance.
Well, we're grateful that you're serving there. We thank you for sharing.
Thank
you.
Isn't that
good? He's just one of the hundreds of gifted, skilled, committed teachers in our communities. Some work here at our Child Enrichment Center, and all around us, we're grateful. New beginnings. What was it? Well, let me tell you what it was. When I was a kid, I enjoyed the new notebooks at the beginning of the year because mine were pretty dog-eared and scraggly, and you know, had things written on them. And pretty nasty, and the wire ones, you know, the wires were all bent and everything. So, you know, you get to start new with clean notebooks. That was always just, well, I can start over. The other thing I liked, there are not many of you here old enough to remember when at the beginning of school you had to bring a new cigar box. Does anybody that old besides me? They don't let kids bring things that have tobacco emblems on them now. But when I was a kid, you know, your mom would in the summer begin, you know, if you're in a drugstore or a grocery store, you would ask, do you have any empty cigar boxes? Because you had to get a cigar box to put on your desk, you know, with your pencils and your crayons and your erasers, that kind of stuff. Have you ever smelled a new cigar box? Oh, man. Even if you don't smoke, there's nothing better than a new cigar. That's one of my ones. What did you enjoy having new, either now or when you were a student? What? Anybody? Shoes? Get new shoes? What else did you get new? Crayon. The points were still sharp, you know, by about March, you know, it was broken halves and, okay. What else did you like new? Lunch boxes, yeah. Weren't beat up, weren't dented. If you're old enough to have metal lunch boxes. Anybody, what else new did you like? New tables? Yeah, good. Clean, everything clean. They been power washing the stuff from our Child Enrichment Center. All the chairs and everything clean. What? Painted the walls, too. What else? Clothes, yeah. What about new erasers? Yeah, that's good. You know, yeah, okay. All of this new, you know, the Bible is filled with references to the new. Faith has a lot to do with the new thing, new things. It begins in the Old Testament, in the Genesis book. There is, we meet, there is nothing new about Abraham and Sarah. When we meet them in the Bible story, their wedding china is already 50 years old. I mean, they've settled in the retirement village. I don't know. I guess Abraham and the guys are playing dominoes, and Sarah, I don't know. I guess she has her soap operas. But anyway, God said they need something new in their life. Oh, baby. And so you read the story, and they get this newborn. And so it turns out that their friends are throwing a combination baby shower and 50th wedding anniversary party all in one for these people. And it's about God doing a new thing. You move on and you read the story of in Exodus of the people in slavery. There is nothing new about that. The powerful oppressing the weak. The strong, keeping their thumb on the little guys. There's nothing new about that. That's an old storyline. And God says, I'm going to do something new here. So he sets them free, and he takes these people who have been slaves out into the wilderness. And he says, I'm going to give them a new kind of food. He calls it manna. They've never seen this before. And he says, I'm going to teach them a new way to live. And I'm going to be out in front of them, pulling them into the new. So in the Exodus story, God is present as a pillar of fire up in the sky by day, or in a cloud, a cloud in the daytime and a fire at night. He's out in front of them, pulling them into the new. And God says, now when you get into that new land, that new country, you're going to live in a new way. New people, new land, promised land, it's going to be different. He said, in our new community, the powerful are not going to push around the weak. The wealthy are not going to take advantage of the poor. In fact, he said, you will have no poor among you because you're all going to share. Those that have more than enough, you'll share. And he said, you're going to be especially careful, mindful of the weakest in your community. That would be the widows, the orphans, and the ones who are not citizens, not your tribe, but live in your midst, migrants, foreigners, widows, orphans, and strangers. You're going to be new community. The children are going to honor their parents, father and mother. And the parents, you're going to instruct the children. Hey, this new community. God is always doing something new. Eventually, God does the most novel, most innovative, most new thing without precedent ever. And it's Jesus. The Word becomes flesh. God moves in with humans. And it even creates some new math because Jesus is fully human. And Jesus is fully divine. 100% human and 100% divine. Whatever else has been 100% of this and 100% of that at the same time. But God is. It is something new. The world has never experienced God with us fully in a human. And so Jesus, this fully human and fully divine, comes teaching us a new way to live. He comes to Nicodemus, who is very old school, and he says to this guy, you got to be born anew. You need a new birth. You need to be born from above. You need a spiritual awakening. Later, Paul will put it in the terms I read from the letter to the Corinthians. When you're in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. There's a newness about you. Did you know that in the ancient days, when the church baptized a new Christian, it took place usually at dawn. The beginning of a new day. Dawn on Sunday, the beginning of a new week. So that you didn't miss the point. This is about something new. New day, new week. And often you would get new clothes. Yeah, you get baptized, you get new clothes now. They'd redress you. And often you would get a new name. You might get a new name, a church name. You know, it was either another Christian that you were sort of your mentor, or maybe somebody in the Bible. You would get
a new name. New beginnings. There was no doubt about it. God is up to something new. When you become a new creature, you get a new kind of behavior, a new code of ethics, a new set of expectations about how you will live. Jesus says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. You know, before there had been 10 commandments, then the scholars, the rabbis had said, you take those 10 and break them down into 613. He says, I'm giving you one new commandment. This is it. Love one another as I have loved you. Simple. It's what's in the window, the new window in the sanctuary here. Love one another as I've loved you. New commandment, he says. And what that means is that, all right, instead of working on plotting to get even with that guy who did you poorly, why don't you work on yourself? How is it that I can live without resentment? How is it that I could figure out how to forgive? Okay, instead of confessing everybody else's sins, which we are all good at, you know, just point me in the right direction. I will tell you their sins and what they do wrong. God said, what about instead of working on your own, on theirs, you work on yours? What about instead of trying to build, thinking your life is based on what you own, your stuff, what if you based your life on the one who owns you? And what about if you figured out how to maximize your generosity rather than how to maximize your acquisition? What if you, that would be a new person. That's what Jesus says. This is about a new birth, a new creation, a new way of living in a new community, new people in a new kind of community. Now, the new can be frightening. Man, some of you have moved. Some of you recently moved to a new community. That, you know, all this huge unknown. Or what if you're, you know, a kindergartner going to school and you got those huge menacing second graders, you know? Or what if you're ninth grader and then those 12th graders? You know, it can be frightening. The way that people of faith move into the new is with a kind of confidence, because we know a couple of things. We know, number one, there is no place we can go where God is not already there. And we know there is no place that is God forsaken. We talk about God, it's a God-forsaken place. There is no place that's God-forsaken. God is there. The image is, I love that Old Testament image of the pillar of the fire and the cloud before us, or Jesus at his resurrection when he, the risen Christ, appears to the women at the tomb. He says, I'm going before you into Galilee. Go to Galilee, you'll see. It's this image of God going before us. God out in front of us just a little. Welcoming us, beckoning us into the new. I liked the writer, she won a Pulitzer Prize, Annie Dillard. She wrote some years ago, and she's kind of a mystic. She says, I don't think, she might not say that, but she looks at ordinary things, particularly nature, and sees something holy, stuff of God. She tells a story about when she was a little girl, 6 or 7 years old. She said, growing up in Pittsburgh, she said, I used to take a penny out of my bank. She said, and I would hide it for somebody to find it. She said, for some reason, she said, I would take the stretch of sidewalk in front of my house. And she said, I would either put it kind of down by the roots of the sycamore tree there on next to the sidewalk. She said, there were places where the sidewalk was cracked, and I could kind of stick it down in there. And she said, then I would take a piece of chalk, and I'd start on both ends, and I'd draw a big arrow pointing to that. And she said, I'd write on it, surprise ahead, you know, this big arrow in the sidewalk, or money ahead, or money this way. And she said, then I would hide on my porch to watch and see the people came along. To see the lucky passerby who would get this penny that they didn't deserve. She said, it was just a free gift from the universe. She said, I just had the best fun doing that. You know, the world is strewn and studded with God's gifts to us, God's treasures. They are flung everywhere. They are all around us. We walk every step knee-deep through God's mercy and treasures. If our eyes are just open to see, and God is there in our futures every new day, fresh every morning. Thanks be to God. We have something I want you to do. If the ushers, our greeters, if you would pass out around now, and I'd like you to take a card if you're willing. And this card, I want you to write a little note to a teacher. Take a card if you're willing. It's the gifts he gave of Bible verse, where that some would be teachers. And what you're getting, there's an envelope, and it's got one of these and some instructions, and it's got the name and address of a teacher at one of the elementary schools right around here, our own Child Enrichment Center. There's a teacher's name. It could be a cafeteria worker or someone on the housekeeping staff. And I'd like you, if you're willing, to take one of these cards and just to write a note. You know, you might want to thank them for working with children. Thank them for loving and caring for our children. Encourage them. You might want to tell them you will be praying for them during the coming year. You might want to just bless them. And I invite you to take one of these and write just a little note. And then you can address it in your own handwriting, put it here. You can keep the card that has their name on it, and you can remember them to pray for them throughout the year. And then if you'll go ahead and finish it while you're here this morning, there's a basket out in the lobby, the foyer, and you can put it there, and we will mail it. Or if you want to take it with you and, you know, think about your letter, you can do that. Just mail it this week, if you would, please. Teachers are coming back, at least in the county schools, this week. Some teachers are already back in some of the other schools. But try to get it out this week if you take it with you. But if you just finish it today, you can leave it here. Now, there are also some blank cards out there. Just the card with the instructions, but it doesn't have a teacher's name. Maybe there's a teacher you want to thank particularly. Take one of those and you decide who to send it to. We're sending these just a few of the elementary schools. You might want to send it to somebody who's teaching in a middle school. Or you may want to send it to somebody who taught you. Or if you are a student, you might want to take one of these and write a note to your teacher to thank them for what they're doing. But it'll be an offering, a way of blessing those who care for our children. Well, let's pray, shall we? Lord of life, we give thanks for those who have led us into new knowledge, to new chapters in our lives, to new levels of maturity. We thank you that you bring us to new places so we will be more like Jesus. In his name, amen. Today we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. Everyone here, whether you're a member of this church or another church or no church, if you wish to receive the bread and the cup, signs of God's love, I invite you to do so. Our custom is to come forward and you just get a... You can go to the left or the right, get a piece of bread and a cup, and eat and drink, and then somebody will take the little cup, the empty cup from you. But I invite everyone to come. So let us pray, shall we? Oh, Lord, we give thanks that your life is present all around us, we confess that we have not noticed it at times, or we've ignored it. We've forgotten it. Forgive us, we pray, for neglecting you. And forgive us, we pray, for neglecting those we ought to love, for the things we did not do that we should have done, for the things we did that we should not have done. Lord, forgive us. Oh, Lord, fill us with your new life once again. We remember Jesus who shared bread on the night of his arrest and betrayal. We remember Jesus who shared bread with those who had left him on the day of his resurrection as a sign of him erasing their sins and forgiving them. Lord, help us to find forgiveness and newness of life. Send your Spirit on us and on these elements we bless in your name. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, and make us to be the body of Christ, loving and sharing for the world. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the band, would they like to come first, maybe? Lord, for every sign of your presence, we thank you. For all the ways you make us new, chiefly your forgiveness, we thank you. Let this meal shared from your life fill our life, change our life, and help us to make those new beginnings we need to make. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go into the world in peace. Love the Lord. Serve Him. Render unto no person evil, for evil shown you, but love one another as God has loved you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.